All right. You're a leader amongst men.
So how are you doing?
I'm fine. You know, lazy Sunday, which is bad because I need to catch up on the Robots with Coffee comic called You Can Do Stupid Things. I'm just going to start off with a plug that hopefully by the time you're at TFCon, which we'll be at, me and you, Paul and Jesse,
yes,
I'll have copies of this book. But I have to finish it, and it's only like 3 weeks away, if even that. So I'm in trouble. There, I got like all our introductions out of the way.
Well, we will be at TFCon.
Yes, we'll be at TFCon
in a couple weeks.
I just need, yeah. But and I want to have this book with me, but I'm mad at myself right now.
Well, regardless of that,
yeah.
Grim Lockhamus will be there.
Grim Lockhamus will be there selling his toys. So, you know, make sure you get there early because people will line up and they'll fight each other over it. And that's kind of like half the fun right there.
What's the guest list look like this year?
Honestly, there's a lot of voice actors.
Dan Gilvezen?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be there, but I don't know who else will be there. We'll be there. That's all that matters.
I think Casey Collar is going to be there.
Casey Collar will probably be there.
Michael McConaughey and David Sobolov, as far as and Paul Eating, as far as voice actors. Rick Alvarez will be there. Aaron Archer will be there, which isn't totally surprising.
Yeah.
Alex Milne is scheduled to be there, but I know he's been having some health issues.
Yeah, he wasn't at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
I think Josh Perez will be there.
I don't see him on the list, but I don't know what his plans are. The big one for me is Jack Lawrence is going to be there.
Oh.
Because I haven't gotten anything from him yet. So I'm kind of excited for that. I'm always excited to see Milne and to see Casey. And I will definitely be buying stuff.
I see him on there, Josh Perez, that is.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember seeing that announced. Okay.
One of the writers, Donald Glut, will be there, who wrote the G1 cartoon. So save all your questions. Where does the trailer go? which is one of my frequent questions. So hopefully there's more artists there. I'm sure it's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of new artists who haven't worked on Transformers who are working on the new book, the new books. And then they're announcing that some of the other, what we would consider to be the regular artists, the people from the previous IDW phase are going to be working on those books too in the future. But they're giving a lot of people who haven't had maybe not that kind of professional exposure or, chances at covers and interior art. So hopefully some of the new people will be at the show in Artist Alley with us.
Umi Meow, who's at Coralis on Twitter, has done some covers, and they're usually there.
Okay, so, well, there you go.
So I would assume that
I'd like to see if Winston Chan would be there. He's done some covers too.
Yeah.
Somewhat recently. That'd be cool. Reach out and ask him maybe. But yeah, I'm excited. I have vacation days. I'm going to leave a sack of potatoes in my office with my name tag on it so that people think I'm there. And then I'm going to be, I guess probably should tell your family that I'm going to be staying, right?
Yeah, I'll let them know. I'll let them know at some point.
Okay. I'm sure that'll be a shocker. And then of course, I guess probably the next question is when do I intend to leave? And we both know the answer to that is never. I'll say we haven't done this in a while. This will be our second podcast in this format because various reasons. So if you've been like looking on the site or for links, sorry. But there's a glut of other podcasts out there, and a lot of them are discussing some pretty big news, which is where's your $575 going?
Well, it's funded.
It's funded.
I did not have the spare change to throw at Unicron, but I'm glad it's funded. Because I'm glad that the toy will exist.
And that we can stop talking about.
And that maybe Pete will bring it to TFCon in a couple years.
Yeah. yeah.
Because I know he's getting one.
Oh. I don't know who else. I honestly don't know who else is. And you and I know some pretty hardcore collectors. And none of the hardcore, like maybe Pete, our friend Pete Chavez.
Pete's getting more than one, I think.
Oh my God, I can't imagine getting more than one.
I seem to recall a comment to that.
Okay, well, I mean, like, our friend and my neighbor, Eric, I not this tell tall tales of who's who and getting these. I don't think he's getting one. I think he just kind of looked at me like I was crazy when I asked him.
I've only seen a couple people on Twitter who've committed among the group that I'm familiar with. Because there were a couple people who were really trying to get it done.
Yeah.
And I don't think
it's really a hard thing to kind of get like your pom-poms out and shake and say like, order. Come on, this is a team effort, and it's like, it's $575. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's only $100 more than MP, the new Masterpiece Optimus.
And that's another thing. I did not know that thing was $400-something.
Yeah.
So
there was one of the questions that we pulled from Twitter that's relevant to this discussion from... at You Are Not Invisible. Mm-hmm. Where do you put Unicron?
Oh my God.
I can't. Like, I have a house. I could probably find a place to put it.
You know that when I run out of space, they end up, like, any toys that like can't fit on the shelf end up in a box and are mailed to you. So I don't know where I'm going to put Unicron. I'm not buying him to shove him in a box and send to you.
If you're living in an apartment, I think that came up. It's like, look, if you're getting Unicron, the first thing you need to do is make sure you have a place to put it. Cause it's big. It's not just a couple inches taller than Fort Max. Yeah. It's wide.
I mean, it's hefty too. I mean, this is a giant transformable figure with a stand that's supposed to, I mean, I'm getting like, anxiety over the idea of someone putting it on the stand on top of a shelf, and then even if they don't live in an earthquake zone, like a semi goes by in their small neighborhood and the ground shakes a little bit and boom, you know, that thing like Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, are there replacement parts? Because this thing is elaborate.
Oh gosh. The transformation gives me anxiety. It's just so many moving parts, so many panels. And it's so big. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a hard time even with like the big Titan class figures. And those are pretty easy to transform. Like, transforming those is a pain. I can't imagine doing Unicron on any sort of regular basis.
I can't even trust myself to think about like moving a piece without it breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's like my entire life. So that's like, can I segue that into the next question on the website, on the internets, which is, do we have any regrets, toy regrets? And I don't know if we can include, we can go back to Unicron because why not? But at the same time, like, neither of us are getting it.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I know some people who are getting it, but I'll wait until they have it and we have the barbecue or something like that. And they're like, take a look. And it's like, wow, that looks really expensive. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because of my clumsiness and because I've moved a lot here and there, and just because I lose things, like any toy, any action figure is a regrettable purchase. So I have to kind of keep that in mind. But there's no law to buying these things. And I know I personally end up ruining some of them, just to like mess around and, you know, not be concerned about replacing them with a regular figure again. But I don't think, you know, if I've had a regular figure, I've probably sold it, to like the local shop or had somebody else buy it. I don't know.
I mostly regret not buying things that later on it's like, why didn't I just bite the bullet? But I can think of two, and I don't have a lot of regret over the first one, and I kind of do over the second one, but it had more to do with the circumstances of it.
Yeah.
I ended up, right when I first started buying toys again, I got the Generations Gold Bug that was the Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting it at one of those mall calendar stores or whatever.
Okay.
And bought it for way more than it was worth. And I kind of regret that because it's not a toy that I actually like very much.
Well,
and I overspent on that.
Go on.
And the only other one would be the Power of the Primes Nemesis Prime. And that's more to do with the circumstances of how I ended up with it. When I got it, I like the mold. I like the look of the figure. There's nothing wrong with the figure. Mine, the neck joint on the interior figure has a little crack in it. So I have to be very careful when I move it around. And that wouldn't be that bad. But somehow, when I took the figure out of the box and transformed it a couple times, one of the smokestacks fell off disappeared forever. And
it'll show up.
Between those two things, it just kind of put me off on the figure. I haven't really come back to it, which is a shame because it's a good figure.
Yeah.
I just kind of like have some bad feelings associated with it. And speaking of things coming back, I was messing around one night with Energon Megatron, just transforming it while I was watching Netflix or something. And I didn't notice until the next morning when I picked it up that one of the horns had popped off at some point when I was doing it. And I looked everywhere. Because it's not a little thing that you're not going to notice. It's his head. I looked all over the place. I combed the room. Nothing. 3 years later, I just happened to look in the floor, and there was the horn. I was going to pick up a book or something and just randomly found the horn. So things do come back.
They do. When you least expect them. When you're going to be like moving a couch or something like that, that's when you'll find the piece to Nemesis Prime. I'll tell you, like, I think when the Combiner Wars figures started coming out, I kept Alpha Bravo, but I put together a set of like a combiner, you know, like enough figures to put together one combiner. And I was like, you know what? This is as uninteresting to me as the original combiners were outside of Devastator. So I kind of nixed pursuing any other figures after that. And, you know, I know some of the comics kind of went that way. I do have Skylynx. Because I found him last year when I came back. Was it last year or 2 years ago? When I came back from D.C. after visiting you for TFCon D.C.
2 years ago.
And, yeah. So just because I don't have a Skylynx, and that one's not a bad figure, but they're all pretty, because they all have kind of the same transformation here or there, they're just not, you know, interesting figures. They don't look, they all look pretty flat. They all look pretty boring. So, and then we got Siege coming up now after Power of the Primes. And did they call Headmasters Power of the Primes? Was that part of that line? What was...
They had the Power of the Primes... was a weird mix of Combiner Wars and the Headmaster stuff, or the whatever they were calling them that wasn't Headmasters. Because you had the Abominus figure, which was probably my favorite of the Combiner Wars, or the Combiner figures from recent lines. And then you had the ones that, like, could weirdly were Combiners, like Jazz and...
Right, exactly. Yeah, those have been like, I don't need a lot of those. I'll say that, like, you know, I have Swoop, and I kept him, and I kept some of the Ladybots. That's right, I said Ladybots. Before, like, the Headmasters, or while the other Headmasters were coming out, and then, like, Siege has been announced, and, you know, I got Sideswipe, and obviously you got in the mail... Generation Sideswipe, you're welcome. And so, but like, I'm not getting every figure, and so that was another question that we have is, you know, what do you want to get and what don't you want to get? It's like, there's an improvement on a good original, like not original, but good Generations figure. Otherwise, I don't need six gun. You know what I mean? I personally don't need them. I'm not saying that you don't need him. It's just a preference. Or there's like a big bulky guy that has like, I don't even know who it is. It's like all blue. I think he's a Decepticon. Do you know which character I'm talking about?
There's Brunt, who's the big purple guy.
Okay, well, I think maybe it's Brunt, and I think he's supposed to be Brunt, a stand-in for somebody else.
There's Sixshot, and there's the other blue Autobot one, and honestly, the name is escaping me.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, again, they're probably stand-ins for somebody else. I don't know, but I just, I picked up Ironhide because the Generations Ironhide I was never a fan of. The Combiner Wars Ironhide, which I think there was one, right?
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't a good enough replacement for it. And, same thing with like the Dotsons, and I still don't know. I'm still on the fence about like Prowl, for instance, for Siege. I'd rather just like get the original or a reissue, a commemorative reissue of what's his name, number 38, Smokescreen, then kind of go that route of just like these skinny. Torso, skinny leg, revisions.
I will say,
like, stout you guys.
Prowl was one that, looking at the pictures, it's like, oh yeah, the proportions are kind of weird. And in hand, it's a lot better. It's still got the skinny waist, but
yeah,
the transformation's really nice. The car is actually good looking as a futuristic vehicle. And I do like it. I've managed to get that. And I guess it's just that one so far. I was thinking a Red Alert. It's like, no, it's the Sideswipe remold. But
yeah, but at least this time they have a different head for him.
Yeah.
And that's why I have to pick mine up from our friend Collecticon.
But speaking of ones to replace other figures, they're the Earthrise line that was just announced at New York Comic Con. That looks like there is finally going to be some decent new figures that don't get quite as much love. Like, for all that Wheeljack, for all the popularity that Wheeljack has, hasn't had a figure. Well, he had the Combiner Wars figure, but it was terrible.
I consider all those figures, with the exception of Alpha Bravo, the world's greatest Autobot, to be kind of terrible. But that's just my opinion. And you know, I've kind of stayed away from most of them. But Wheeljack, I actually love Generations Wheeljack. I totally do. And I loved the tracks that came out from that. And, I can't believe I sold Downshift that I made, which I would love a real Downshift out of that mold. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in seeing this Wheeljack and then how it's going to be used for Sunstreaker as everyone kind of digibashes.
Right. Well, I wonder if you've got the Ratchet that's coming out as a Walgreens exclusive, and they've had a lot of recolors in their Selects line. So I wonder what the chances are of seeing the Wheeljack mold recolored.
Yeah.
To be, you know, Downshift or Slicer as a Selects, as a Hasbro Selects.
Or who are the Power Dasher, not the Power Dasher, is the guy you pulled at the Run Amok?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Looking at Cliff Jumper, it's like, that's going to be Runabout and Run Amok are kind of obvious from that.
But it's nice that, well, it's interesting that Cliff Jumper is coming out as a deluxe size figure and not a, right? It's not a legend size.
Yeah, but they're doing the weird thing with the size classes now where they're all broadly. You know, they'll do Cliff Jumper as a deluxe, but he's going to be, like, he's coming with his cannon and some other accessories, so he's probably going to be a very small deluxe. And the same way that, you know, you look at Optimus and Megatron versus Ironhide. Whereas, you know, Optimus and Megatron are big Voyagers and Ironhide. Well, was Ironhide a deluxe?
Yeah.
I think he was like deluxe. He's like a big deluxe. So he's almost as big as Optimus and Megatron, but they just kind of, as long as it's the same amount of plastic to meet that price point, they can skew the size so that it scales better. So I imagine he's going to be just a little deluxe.
Yeah. I guess we'll just keep waiting until sad that I didn't get Hound, but at the same time, I also really liked friendlier looking Generations Hound. He's still kind of cute. It's remarkable how many. I'll tell you where I'm at. It's just like I can get toys again. there was a period where I was not buying toys, and I think responsible adulthood is a good reason for that, right?
Right.
But now that now that I have a full time job again, hooray! And I did the last time we talked. I've been like keeping my eyes open for figures to add to the collection or have passed through for photographs or whatever. And the minute they announced those tape guys, the W cassette reissues, I pre-ordered it. And I lucked out, but I can't believe that they didn't make enough to match pre-orders.
Yeah. I requested it as a birthday gift from someone. And so that order got in late, and they pushed it off and pushed it off for a couple of weeks. And all of a sudden, they're like, sorry, we didn't make enough.
Still, what's the point of pre-orders?
It's a bummer.
That is a bummer. Because, I mean, but then like the other thing, too, is like, I mean, they're already, the W cassette Dinobots are already kind of ridiculous on a different level because they're really trying to make them look like dinosaurs or something. And I guess in the ways they do. It's kind of a stretch too, you know. At least the ones that came with Frenzy. I mean, they're cute. The plastic pseudo chrome weapons or whatever aren't that great. They feel kind of flimsy. I lucked out because in the wild I found the other two that came with the movie Bumblebee figure from San Diego Comic-Con.
Right.
And I think it's Noise. I don't know. Like kind of Velociraptor looking one. I could be wrong and someone will correct me. It's way cool and also ridiculous. I mean, they're just ridiculous. They're tape guys. They shouldn't be a fight, you know. They shouldn't be that exclusive. They should definitely have done better packaging to make sure that the package matched on the back, that like it does in the front for Frenzy. I don't know. But I feel bad that like that stuff would be like on the website. Is it website only or is that going to be in stores, you think?
No, it was a Pulse exclusive, I think.
That's just so dumb.
That said, I'm sure that there were some, at least a few third parties that probably managed to get a hold of a few.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah. No, I know. So. I know people who have. I mean, I've seen it listed online. I thought the price was kind of high. I'm like, why are you charging so much? They're on Hasbro Pulse. I guess they're not. But that's still not fair to people who pre-ordered, because pre-orders should be pre-orders. You know, they should be. You don't be like, oh, we've got 1,000 pre-orders, but let's only make 500. Like, how does that math work? You're not going to only make 4,000 Unicrons. Although, how funny would that be?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. How long, let's be cynical, how long before Unicron is on sale, like on discount, on blowout, on like Big Bad Toy Store or something?
Well, I wonder how exactly they did that. Because Big Bad Toy Store was doing it, you put down a deposit, and they'll go ahead and order the figure. And it's a non-refundable deposit, so I'm assuming that their plan is when the figure comes in, they're hoping that most people will go ahead and buy it, but at least they're not out the full price if somebody fails to get their figure, and then they can turn around and just put it up on the website. Mm-hmm. And they were selling it, you know, for a little bit more.
Right.
So,
well, especially because, you know, like the first thing that people were upset about was its distribution outside of America.
Right.
And for good reason, things got to weigh a ton.
Yeah. And it looks like Kapow in the UK, and I think there was an Australian distributor who were doing orders for it. Mm-hmm. So I know that it seems like if people wanted to get it overseas, that it would be possible to do that. But anyway.
I just can't think of where I would put that thing.
You don't need a washer and a dryer.
Well, my apartment building, I don't know.
Have you caught any of Cyberverse?
Nope. No, I got about through one season of the previous cartoon.
Robots in Disguise?
I just haven't caught up.
I thought the first season of that, of Robots in Disguise, was probably the best it had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
It had, like, they had a short season where Starscream came back that was pretty good. They had good episodes here and there, but it just seemed to lose direction.
Yeah, after the first season. You know, it's kind of hard to get to jump into these cartoons because either they are or they aren't related to each other after, like, the title and theme change. And they kind of peter out in the sense that it's like, hey, we got this momentum now. It's like, oh, by the way, we're going to start over again with a name change and a different design look and, you know, approach or whatever. And I guess that kind of makes sense. I'm not saying that I want a Simpsons style running thing going on with no changes. But I would also like a Simpsons style G1 cartoon because you have so many characters and you have so many things you could do. And that should be a TV show and someone should call me about that. But no, I haven't seen it, and You know, this is going to be a very interesting podcast called I Haven't Seen It or Read It. Let's talk about it.
I've gotten through, I did the first season, and I've watched a few episodes into the second season, and it's easy to get into because the episodes are very short. You know, it's the Cartoon Network approach of just doing 10-minute episodes. And it starts off a little clunky because they really lean into movie Bumblebee voice box damage, can only talk through the radio, and it's very bad.
What a terrible characterization.
But all of the flashback bits are really good. And the story itself, aside from Bumblebee's being kind of annoying, is good. They have, you know, Slipstream leading the Seekers on Earth. They're just pulling from all over the place for Seekers. So you've got Acid Storm has a pretty big role as a lackey, or at least shows up a fair bit. And strangely switches gender. I think it was Acid Storm that was inconsistently drawn to be male and female through several of the episodes.
I wonder, I haven't picked up any of the Cyberverse figures, but I did see like a tiny Slipstream.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a good figure or not.
Nah. The little ones kind of half transform.
Okay, then that answers that.
Yeah, there's.
I have the Takara one that came out. Well, again, like one of the few that I've ordered outside of, you know, hunting down.
The figures in the line so far are aimed at a younger audience. So for people who are. Who want generations?
How dare they market these things to kids?
For people who want something with generations levels of articulation and stuff, it's not really for you. I think some of them are a lot of fun.
Unicron and giving it to their kid.
Here, little Billy, transform this. But they're doing a line of. Warrior class figures.
Of course.
I think it's Warrior Deluxe, whatever they're calling it, that look to be a little more articulated. That'll be coming out in the coming months. It's got a really good looking Bumblebee, Optimus, Megatron, and Shockwave. And we know they're going to do at least 8 of these because there's a McAdam Build-A-Figure. That's included with them.
Oh.
Which is annoying.
Oh, is that like the Marvel Legends thing that you do and you buy them and there's like a head? Oh, wow.
You got to buy 8 of them, though.
Oh, God. No. that was a conversation. I don't know if I had it with you or with Eric about the people who were buying the Power of the Primes. And they were buying many of the same kind because they wanted to get the card.
Yeah. That's you trade for the cards, man.
What's that?
You trade for the cards.
Yeah.
Or just like if anybody wanted my Power of the Primes cards, I would have given them to them. I don't care.
Yeah, they're first thing in the mail, and I wouldn't even ask for anything. You know, like whatever. I don't buy 12 different of the same figure. Oh, come on. Yeah.
Moving on from there to another part of the Transformers mass media empire. You been keeping up with the comics?
No. Like I said, I'm going to be very boring, man. Very boring. It's been I'm surprised I'm getting toys after like my year, you know, and. You think you have a lot to talk about, and I don't know what people want to hear on this, if they want to, you know. Obviously, the whole purpose, reason why maybe you follow us is because we're you know, taking pictures of our toys with coffee, and we're being goofballs. I might pick up the Galaxy stuff coming up. Just because it's going to be, I mean, even the regular book seems to have an eclectic mix of artists, and that's fine. I'm just not interested in that story. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer about it, but I'm just not. I'm just like, I don't want to jump on and have something that I'm kind of half-hearted after, you know, for something like these stories that, you know, they hit the reboot button anytime. I so much enjoyed those last couple series, and that's just my own personal view of it. I know people are enjoying them. I don't want to miss out on the sort of the artistic meme aspect of fan art about it, but I just wasn't interested in it. And really, I haven't really heard anything outside of like, oh, it gets better by issue 12. I'm like, that's 12 issues, you know. But that's my own. Like I said, I might check out the Galaxies. Just because it's a little more direct in like author and art team as opposed to just art team, and nothing against the author of the main book. I'm just not interested. And this might be just like where I'm at with comics in general. Last month I had zero pre-orders for comics because like all my series, all the stuff I enjoyed either has run out or they're just not, you know, like they sales were low, and they you know, with Image Comics, it's like, if you're not done, if this ain't profitable at issue 6, be prepared for an ending or whatever. It's not like stuff's not going to come out, but I just haven't ordering. I did pre-order the book Kill Lock by Livio Raimondelli, which you can do right now through October. But why don't you go ahead and tell me what I'm missing?
The last issue with Nautica, I really enjoyed. I'll say that.
Covers look great.
I've been saying every issue that comes out, this is the best issue that's come out so far. And I think part of that is it's building on what came before. But it is admittedly a slow burn. And the art, they have some good artists on it, but it's been inconsistent.
Well, they've had a lot of different artists on it. It's hard to be consistent when you're probably not on model every issue.
And the thing is, the two artists that they had in the first several issues had very different styles.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of main artist had a much more, not as expressive, I guess you could say. A little more old school comic style. And then the other guy had a style that was very close. I actually saw some pictures and thought it was Casey Collar.
Yeah.
It's in that vein. And they just,
for the record, Casey draws the best Cybertron. And I got to point to this because people don't like the Mike Costa years, but check out the Ironhide mini because Casey is on point in that series. Anyway,
but they've been bringing a lot of other people in to do art, which is, you know, good. I think they've brought in a lot of really excellent artists. They've brought in some people who worked on the prior IDW continuity. I know Sarah Peter Durocher was doing some art. I think Alex Milne is on the
next issue coming up. Right. And I know Andrew Griffith is going to be on one of the upcoming issues, I think, for the Galaxies.
Yeah, I know he did the cover.
Yeah.
For
and again, that's kind of what, like, I shouldn't ignore this. Like, I'm like, these are, you know, the artists I enjoyed from those last series are popping back on. But I don't want to jump on like for one issue and then wait two issues just for the art.
And Galaxies, I think, is the way to go for that, because they're going to be doing short arcs. It's essentially the Spotlight series, but an ongoing.
Yeah.
Just moving from like a three or four issue arcs in the Constructicons, then Cliffjumper, then Ultra Magnus.
I think I remember when those Spotlights were coming out and they kind of stopped doing them up until they had Dark Cybertron prequels.
Prelude. Yeah,
the prelude. Yeah, the prelude to that. And but some of those were great, but they were also independent stories. And some of the spotlights that started with IDW, because that was kind of their sort of like publishing and marketing, was to like put out a one shot as opposed to oversaturate the books that they had, you know, that say Dreamwave did, among other things that Dreamwave did. And unfortunately, some of those crossed over with each other and almost neglected the character that they included, you know. So if you picked up, if you were me and you picked up Transformer Spotlight Sideswipe, because Sideswipe, it made no sense. It was all that like Dead Universe stuff.
It was,
which is a, it which was, is the unfortunate theme that ran through that book almost up till the end. And
no, it was Simon Furman wasn't allowed to really finish his series, so they said, we'll give you four Spotlight issues to wrap up all the Dark Universe stuff we're doing. So he did four Spotlight issues and just picked here and there,
right,
like Cyclonus and Sideswipe, and I can't remember who else.
And then I think there was the Hearts of Darkness. Was that? No, not the Hearts. What was the one with the really odd art of RC? That was
Heart of Darkness.
Okay.
Which
Hearts of Steel is the other one that they canceled because they didn't want to confuse the line. But Heart of Darkness was, geez Louise. You know, and every artist is better than me. I think I cannot draw like that guy, but I would also not want to draw Transformers in that style.
I'm not going to say it's bad art, but it was so, 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 so different.
It was just jarringly, even for different, because Chi, who did some of the, I think he did a Bumblebee one shot, if I'm not mistaken, a Bumblebee mini, if I'm not mistaken, during Costa's run. That's different, but that looked really good, or I think it looked good. But that was not a good book.
It was and so they had, different.
Abnett and Lanning, the guys who wrote all the cosmic stuff for Marvel around that period, I think they wrote it, and the whole thing was just a mess. It was just an incomprehensible mess. It just did not look good, and the art did not help convey anything. So, kids, if you want a story, here's something you want to hear: things to avoid. What comics are you reading? Not that one.
Yeah. Well, back to the Transformers run. You know, the main line comics, it's a slow burn. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying them, but I mean, I read a whole bunch of the Costa books. I mean,
yeah.
I like Transformers.
There's nothing I'm just not interested. And yeah, normally I would be in there for the long run. It's not like when Christopher Priest Black Panther came out and I read the first two issues and said, this is too dense. And I said, I can't wait every month for this story to figure out what's going on. I got to wait. And I waited 20 issues, you know, and maybe it was great, by the way, but maybe this Transformers is the same way, but I was not hooked.
Yeah. Well, the Galaxy, like you said, is the way to go. And just finished up Transformers Ghostbusters.
And so tell me about that. Tell me what you thought of that.
I liked it. The art was a little inconsistent, but it was good overall.
Do you know if the art is the same as the art who did the regular Ghostbusters comic for IDW?
I believe so, yes. And where...
But then again, those guys,
where there were any issues with it was with the robots, because occasionally their heads were a little smaller than they should have been. But on the whole, the art was really good. The story was interesting. They nailed the characters. You know, this was... Ectotron was pretty well done. It was five issues, and it was enjoyable.
Is there any more? Because I know Solicited was like volume one, for the collection. I was like, oh, please, no. But I can people see enjoyed it. I know. Now, I know a lot of people enjoyed it. So
it was fun. It was fun in the same way that the Star Trek versus Transformers was fun. It was a crossover where the team, the creative team working on it, was trying to make just a comic that you didn't have to think too hard about. It wasn't super deep. It wasn't super dark. It was just fun.
Yeah.
If you like 80s properties, go get it.
Yeah. Keep shooting fish in that barrel.
And on a tangent.
Uh-oh.
James Roberts is working on a new comic.
Well, I picked it up, actually. I have Starcadia Quest.
Yes.
And I don't know what the reference is. And obviously, there's one reason why I bought it. It's because James Roberts wrote it. And I try to jump on a bunch of series if I see someone from that stable working on a book. I bought Calamity Jane. I bought Girl on the Beach, which are by Corin Howell. I know, like I said, I pre-ordered the Kill Lock book by Livio.
Did you get Death's Head?
I did not, actually, because I'm not buying Marvel Comics or DC. I'm not buying superhero books.
I can see
that. I don't mean to be, yeah, well, I mean, I should be supportive, but it's just like, that's the other thing about me is like, about like not interested in, is just that I reached that limit where I don't need to find out what happened to Hobgoblin. Who is my guy? And every once in a while, I would look at the solicits, and it'd be like, "Hobgoblin's back," and like one of the best stories post Gwen, the death of Gwen Stacy. Kids, strap in, okay? This is what old man R.W.C. Paul is going to ramble about. Is the Hobgoblin mystery, which was left kind of at a bizarre cliffhanger, or kind of not. How that Roger Stern had planned to end it at the time, and he got to come back and sort of retcon and fix it and reveal who he had attended in the mid 90s, in the late 90s. And so Hobgoblin was my guy. I really loved it. And John Romita Jr. had done the original art on those books. There was some mystery to it. It was finally a dangerous villain. It wasn't like Hydro Man or Sandman mixed together, or whatever was going on with Will the Wisp, or whoever else was filling up the pages terribly. And I didn't mind some of the Gangland stuff that I would go back and read with like the Rose and that the Hobgoblin was part of. Having stopped reading some of these superhero books, most of them, and I'm looking at the solicits, and I was like, oh, Hobgoblin's back. And it's like, yes, you know, and then I get the issue. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I don't care. You know, it's like they're rehashing something because it's been 20 years. And it's for people who haven't read it 20 years ago, but it's for me, it's like, oh, wait, you don't need to tell me. And it's like, oh, that's because I'm not the audience anymore. But that's just me personally. So I just haven't jumped on any of the Batman books. I haven't jumped on any of the superhero books. And I'm glad that the people that, you know, like Kiyazama, are working on those books, and hopefully they keep working on them. I'm just not about the superhero books right now, just because for the mainstream books, the prices are too much in some cases. And I'll tell you, as a former retailer, it always bugged me when people were like, oh, it's too expensive to buy indie book at $3, but it's not too expensive to buy Marvel superhero books or DC books at $4 or $5. So I just as a matter of just like my preference, I'm just not, you know, picking those books or checking them out. I did pick up the Starcadia book. I also picked up a book called Hashtag Danger by Chris Jeruso, who did G-Man and the Marvel mini books. And A lot of my series are either ending or they're just not doing anything. You know, they're on some kind of hiatus. So I'm no fun that way. And I'm sorry.
I did like Starcadia Quest. I was interested in that just because I wanted to see James writing in a different context.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's,
and, you know, it, and the thing is, it's not in that sort of like tone that you would, that you maybe might be used to from More Than Meets the Eye. He's writing a kid's book. He's writing a kid's adventure. It is a kid's adventure book, right?
It's a super wordy kid's adventure book.
Well,
too.
I mean,
there's dense text.
Yeah.
Because it's James Roberts.
Yeah, it's James Roberts, and it's a lot to pack in. It's only 3 issues. So I'm not sure why he was, you know, the one chosen to take up this on. I would personally like to see a creator-owned book by him, you know, or a novel. I'm not picky. A collaboration with a Midwesterner from Chicago. I'm just saying. You know, it could happen.
He's still, but yeah, his, it's dense.
I was gonna say it's dense in the exposition, because I think they've only got 3 issues, and I think he's got to cover the ground to introduce the theme of whatever this game is, because this is some sort of game, right?
Right. It's
the hip hop, right? Jello pudding snacks.
I think it's a Kickstarter like tabletop RPG or something like that.
Ah.
But I could be wrong, okay. Or just a board game.
I guess we could look it up for next time. That shows you how interested we are, kids. I'll tell you what I picked up. Speaking of tabletop, segue, I picked up one of the Lego board games. Do you remember those?
No. Actually.
Oh, so, okay. You can't see it. I'm holding it up because we're not talking on the camera. But I went to a flea market outside of the Rosemont Horizon in Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois, with Robots with Coffee Eric and his family. And one of the things I picked up is they have these Lego board games. And I think one's called Heroes Quest, maybe. You can correct me at any point. Anyone can correct me. This one was called Lego City Join the Chase. And it comes with, like, dice where it's, like, you can move the characters towards like buildings, and they wrap the characters, and someone rolls for the police to try and capture the characters. They have like a D&D themed one, and part of it's kind of research, because there's a project I want to do with Princess Robo that's kind of like a more expanded book of what I had done for the Kickstarter for the mini, and then like kind of give it some sort of like role playing or board game atmosphere to it, something to go on. If I can design something that way, so that's something that it's been a while since we talked, and we intend to talk more than this, but we haven't. So I'll just tell you what I've been into. That was something that I was checking out. I've been playing the card game with Eric, the Transformers card game.
Oh right,
yeah,
yeah. I won some cards from Pew.
That's right, you did.
Did
you get them?
I did.
Yeah.
I need to figure out how to play the game.
It's. I'm taking my cues from my opponents, who are very patient with me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one of those things where you, to sum it up, like you pick the other player's card, you say you're going to attack, and then the two of you burn through your deck of cards mm-hmm. that you haven't pulled to see, you know, on the top. To see if you need a an action or like some sort of advancement for your figure.
Yeah.
So upgrade, excuse me. And then like half the time you forget these things and you're just kind of just pulling the top card to see if you get laser blasts or not when you attack.
Well, there's a comic shop and novelty store, like toy store near me called Tashi Station. And they do mm-hmm. like the card game stuff. And I think Victory Comics does as well. So I just need to head out to those one night and sit and watch some people play and start getting into mm-hmm. that. Because I've got I've got some of the older cards. I haven't been picking up the newer sets, but you know,
and I think you can pretty much do anything. Cause again, the whole thing is just kind of like a quick one-on-one play. It's not mm-hmm. like Magic the Gathering where you have, you know, mana or whatever. You're just pulling what's at the top of your card.
Yeah.
Your deck.
It's not as complex.
Yeah. And I think there's some arbitrary versions people can agree on. So some of you might know, I had surgery in July. I had to remove a cyst on my spine. And why am I segueing into this? Because my mom dropped me off. She had to go in my apartment. She had to go. I had to have someone drive me because it's surgery. But I was feeling okay, and I went to work the next day. But after he got off of work, Eric brought his family over, and I guess he had gotten an extra deck or extra box of Wave One cards and brought them over, and we had kind of a sort of like you get two packs. Everybody gets two packs. You open them at the same time, and then whoever has the matching stars on their character cards faces off. So, if I had like 12 stars total, and Eric had 25 stars total, and then like his son had 14 stars total, I would face off against this kid, and that's what we did. And then you would just not even worry about like the strategy. You would just kind of like pick the cards as I described and then just kind of burn through the deck over if you get laser blast in the attack or not. And it was really fun. I got a much better idea of how to play. Even though like I was completely out of it.
And that's a pretty typical card game, like tournament setup.
I guess so. I had so many friends who played Magic the Gathering. Maybe I wasn't smart enough to understand or not interested in the sort of like the D&D aspect of it, you know? But I've also never played D&D before. Well, that seems like the cool thing to do. Maybe we should start up a campaign, over the phone.
Over Skype?
You can go to one of your friends. No, the most annoying way possible when you go to your friend's house, find a friend. Go over there, break out the phone, put me on speakerphone. Make sure the speaker on your phone is kind of like garbled. And then I'll be as annoying as possible where I keep asking what the rules are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's open to anybody. If you're listening, okay? So I've gone back and I've actually bought cards. But I haven't bought a lot of them because I don't want to get stuck with like 12 Sergeant Cups. Which is like the most common that I've seen, and I don't think I have it. If you want to send me character cards, please. I don't know.
You know,
I don't know how else to
have
ask
a
them.
Prime opportunity here to trade cards coming up in a couple weeks.
I guess so, or just solicit them.
Because there was a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah, someone just gave me a Thundercracker. I think Dale from Challengers Comics gave me he stopped by the booth and he had an extra Thundercracker. He just gave it to me. So I appreciate that. But yeah, and I'm not like in love with these cards. I love the art. I love that for the first two waves, they came from the comics. And now for the newer waves, they're coming up and I hope they're paying people well for original, you know, artwork. With many of it being from, again, newbies, and which is like awesome, and from our favorite stable of artists. So way cool.
On a related note, just got a notification that my package has been delivered containing Siege Thundercracker. So I have finished my Seeker set for Siege. I've got my Starscream, I got my Skywarp, I got my Thundercracker.
Well, there you go.
I'm very pleased by that.
Although, isn't that the same without Acid Storm? I'm just saying.
I saw that set at Target yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't justify dropping the money on it.
I'll tell you, like, I don't know how this stuff is painted, and hopefully it's not, like, sweatshop style, because then I'll feel really bad about our hobby. And I already have enough like things about Mother Earth that I'm worried about. But again, Grim Lochemus, hire him for these repaint designs, have him digibash or something like that. And then just whatever you got to do, Because I don't know if I really, like, I mean, that just seems kind of like unfortunate to see those and just have them be like one block color for each character.
Man, his repaint, I know he's bringing a few things, but he did a repaint of Springer, of Siege Springer, as Dinobot, as Beast Wars Dinobot.
Okay.
And it's amazing. That'll be the first to go. It's amazing.
That'll be the first to go. So yeah, kids, make sure you come visit us at TFCon. Just because why, but because we'll have Grim Lockimus there, come hang out. This is weird because, like, you know, where I'm at in my life is just like action figures just aren't my total concern, even though I'm collecting them again. And I know you have a lot to say about them, and I got a couple things to say about them. I am enjoying the Dino. I don't want to brag about having the Dino cassettes because you didn't get yours, and now I feel guilty.
You know what? In lieu of the Dino cassettes, I'm getting the New Age Barricade.
Okay.
The little tiny, like, sub legend size one.
Right.
So, you know, I would have liked to have the Dino cassettes, but I've been eyeing that Barricade for a long time. Was it New Age?
There's like, because we all know there's like a 90% chance that these are going to end up in your hands at some point in our lives. I literally have a box like I'm looking at right now that I was supposed to send to you, but I've been so not interested in going to my nearby post office. But I have to send you this stuff anyway for TFCon, which is like, you know, not anyone's business. What else? Anything not Transformers? Because I'm sure you probably want to round out this conversation pretty soon.
I downloaded the Untitled Goose game. I have not played it yet. I'm looking forward to that.
I have watched some walkthroughs. It's funny because what's the one game on your mind and my mind, I would think would be like Borderlands 3. It's the Goose game. And I've watched some people like reviews and walkthroughs, and I'm laughing my ass off because it's so funny. It's so pleasant to watch. It's relaxing to watch people be jerks to digital people.
That'll ease me into Borderlands. Which, you know, it if you are able to do that and get that going,
there's gonna be maybe there should be like an untitled Gearbox employee game where you try and get revenge on the CEO, you know, and whatever that guy is up to, because just everything you read about like behind the scenes, I cringe, and then like all the glitches. And I've watched a couple things, and it's like, since they don't have Anthony Birch writing this game, I'm not shocked to hear the negative comments on the story.
Yeah. God, because Borderlands 2 was so funny.
Yeah, it was so funny, but it's like, well, if you like poop and fart jokes, I do! There's like a giant arrow assist. Yes, and to hear that even that's disappointing, I'm just like, come on. How do you? And it goes with what I think is like sort of the modern way of presenting characters is just having a Simpsons style universe in your universe. You know, if you've watched Gravity Falls, everybody already has their place and they already have their quirks. And there's that potential. It goes from Borderlands 2 to the pre-sequel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The way those characters are introduced or reintroduced in Borderlands 2, their personalities carry over, and it's still funny, even though a lot of people don't like the pre-sequel. So to hear that that's like that wasn't consistent is like kind of heartbreaking. And then another reason to wait is, of course, the glitches.
Mm-hmm.
Which are, you know, apparently what, though? Numerous.
Man, I buy Bethesda games on day one. It can't get any worse than that. I had New Vegas from the get-go.
Yeah.
That game broke on me so much.
I'll have to check that one out because I'm not bored with Skyrim.
Yeah.
But I gave up on Skyrim because I was playing it too much.
Fallout New Vegas is really good. It's different. Mm-hmm. Because it was Obsidian that developed that.
Okay.
One. using the Bethesda assets from Fallout 3. And it's much more, it's less of a sandbox game. It's a little more story driven. There's still a sandbox element to it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more, it's, there's a lot more depth to the RPG elements. There's a lot more depth to the, you know, you can use science skills, speech skills. A lot of your skills have a lot more uses in the game. And but the writing is top notch. It's much more interesting. The quests are much more interesting. The stories are much more interesting than most of the stuff you see in Fallout 3. I really, really like it. They have had, they had a number of years to fix it, and they finally did. Like, you compare the game to when it came out to what it is today, and it's a world of difference. I can't recommend it highly enough. If you like that sort of game, it's...
I'll have to go back and check it out, because I'm sure I can get that cheap for PS3.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking. I've been thinking of going back to that because it's a really good game, and I never did finish all the DLC for it. So
what I got in the mail recently, but I haven't played yet, was Tales from the Borderlands. So I don't know if you played it.
I haven't done any of the Telltale
games
stuff. I did. They took the Telltale Minecraft story mode thing. I think Telltale did that. And they put it on Netflix. And there's a little bit of interactive stuff with that, but not to the degree there was in the console version. So I've been, like, my kids
Tales? Oh, you mean Minecraft, you mean? Or
they did a Minecraft story mode. I think it was Telltale. It might not have been.
Is that kind of like...
But it's kind of a similar thing.
Was this before, after they did that Black Mirror... Choose Your Own Adventure on Netflix?
No, well before.
Okay. I don't watch. I haven't watched Black Mirror, so I'm
this
not
came
sure
out. This came out quite a while ago. Okay. Yeah, it was Telltale. Minecraft Story Mode has a really excellent voice cast, a really interesting story, and the version that's on Netflix is the is most of the story, but they play down some of the game aspects of it. That's present in the video game version of it. There's still some interactivity, but not nearly as much. And, but in terms of like storytelling and everything, it's been pretty enjoyable. So I know the writing on the Telltale games is one of the, is like the big draw. And yeah, so that sounds, it sounds like it could be fun.
What else have you been into? It's going to wrap up for our...
I need to start playing music again. I've been watching a bunch of videos. I bought the new Wilco album, which I haven't made it all the way through yet. But I've been
enjoying I put on the new Tool album the day it came out, and it's still going on. I'm kidding.
Never been a big Tool fan. I liked.
I remember when the Perfect Circle's first album came out, and I was like, "Enema by Tool was just such a, you know, sledgehammer to the face of awesomeness." You know, for me at least. And so getting this like side project band is like, okay, but a new Tool album, please. And this album's great, but new Tool album. And then the Tool put out Lateralist. I'm like, oh. So, Perfect Circle, huh? And I know I'm not the only person who was lost, but I know most other everybody else is going to keep giving Tool that chance. I just can't imagine getting behind like a million-hour album.
You know...
Because, like, just...
No insults to anybody's taste, but Tool, like, post... Like when they started getting into longer, more complex songs, it just so came off to me as Baby's First King Crimson.
Well, I mean, because it's
there's a complexity to it, but it's like it's like they're trying to be prog, but not committing to it.
Well, is how I mean, it feels to me. At some point you can get your point across. And I think this is because I got so into like punk rock after the fact, and so I want everything to be shorter.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, as you know, one of my favorite bands is this band called Pelican.
Mm-hmm.
And they write some long material and there's no words. So yeah. You have nothing to hold on to outside of the riffs, you know, and some of it are literally just chung, 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 you know, just for 5 minutes or whatever. But I love it. And so I kind of accept that. And with Tool, I'm going to accept the complexity and the slow buildups, but not every song has to be a slow buildup, you know? So I can't believe that like there'd be a point. It's like, oh, the first new Tool album in a billion years, and like, well, if it's new, but it's been so long, and I just hope that they would have a new hook, or they would be like, okay, this is where we're at, and this is what we can write now, and they just haven't.
Well, it seems like most of it was written years ago, and they've just been
just blah.
They
had some kind of lawsuit, I think, from an accident with a crew member during a tour. That's why they were waiting for that to settle.
Ah.
And that's why they haven't done anything. And they also probably, Maynard's got a winery. Adam Jones is an artist. They just don't need to do it, you know? And so good for them. And the thing is like, I know people who love the album. And I don't mind being, it's like, well, I feel bad pooping on it. Because I had a friend who, there's a band called, I don't know if you're familiar with At the Gates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like, they put out an album called Slaughter of the Soul, which is like one of my all-time favorite thrash, death metal, whatever. And it's one of those things where at that age, and I don't really do this anymore, where you have to backtrack if they have more, because you want more. And it's just like their earlier stuff is just not listenable to me. You know, it's just, it's garbled. It's not, it doesn't have that sort of like maturity, that temperament where it's like, oh, they learned their mistakes and they cut down and they made this brilliant, you know, short, brief thrash fest that I think is still genius. And then they came back after 20 years with new albums. And a friend was like, oh, what'd you think of the new album? And I'm like, I thought it was terrible. And he goes, oh, I loved it. And he was like taking it back, and he had to kind of excuse himself. It's like, don't excuse yourself. If you like it, you like it. Yeah. Don't let me ruin it for you, you know?
It's like, art is personal, you know? It's what works for you. And there are things
even movies are personal.
I just can't stand, you know, some albums, some bands.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like it, then, you know, good on you. That's fine.
Yeah. It took me a little while to get used to the new Pelican album. They put out a new album, and it's been like 6 years. And it's a little, I have enjoyed everything they've done. And sometimes they'll put out like a 12-inch or 10-inch single that's just like kind of noise. And I'll be like nodding my head, well, yeah, man, these guys really got it. Because I'm just a sucker for them. And, this was like, I heard the first two songs they released online, and I was like, I am not enjoying this. And I really am surprised, because I enjoy almost everything they do. But it's like, say it's okay now, but Pelican, one of my favorite bands, they've got a bunch of albums in succession that are amazing. One is called The Fire in the Throat's Back in the Thaw. I think I gave you a copy of that.
Mm-hmm.
Another band that came out, there's a band from Carbondale, Illinois, on the southern tip of Illinois, called the Bile Tones, and they're rockabilly. And I know that they got together and did a show, because they kind of disappeared. They have albums that were produced by Steve Albini or recorded by Steve Albini. Uh-huh. And I remember them from when I did a magazine at the turn of the century. Turn of the Millennium, and they sent us their CD to be included on our compilation, and we had a write to them and get like permission of which song we were going to use, and they never wrote back. And I was always bummed about that, because I loved it. And so like, here they got together and did a reunion show. It's like, oh, that's great. And then like, oh, by the way, here's a new album. It's like, a new album? So I checked it out, and it's called Alone and Rolling. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like rockabilly, I would check him out. And I'm saying this as a person who loves like death metal and punk rock or whatever. Yes, I think that there's some stuff in common. So that's a stretch. But there, yeah, that's what I've been listening to.
Aside from that, you know, I've got the new Wilco album to work through. Ghost has a new like 7-inch that's, I guess, the in continuity explanation for it is it is a lost track from the prior frontman of the band from back in the 60s.
Okay.
So it's very throwback sounding. I mean,
all right, that's cool.
Ghost is completely bonkers in terms of the story of the band.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of fake story of the band, but they're fun.
Yeah,
it's a fun
band. I love, you know, I mean, I haven't jumped on the Ghost bandwagon at all outside of my, you know, such as yourself and some other good friends, but I do appreciate when bands put that in there, you know, that they had that story.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love that about Gwar,
mm-hmm.
you know, which people say is a terrible band, but I don't think so. I think Gwar is a great band because of the amount of theatrics that go in there. And then Manor Astroman is the same way. They have that whole backstory. That's kind of wild and funny with all these excuses as to why someone's not in the band anymore.
And aside from that, I think Bad Religion's got a new album coming out at some point. So I'll check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I need to start writing my own songs again.
Yeah. Come on, man. Where's your album? I mean, like, I'm halfway surprised that like you just don't use the opportunity to bring out the guitar and be like, by the way, podcasters, here's a new song by Jesse, and just start playing. And I'd be like, but we were talking about toys.
Not anymore.
The toys I didn't buy.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Well, I think we're at a pretty good point to wrap up here.
I think so. It's almost an hour and a half, minus some edits. So I'll mention the website, which is robotswithcoffee.com, the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/robotswithcoffee. Our Twitter handles are robotswcoffee for me, Paul, and rwcjesse for you, right?
Yes.
And then what's your Instagram handle?
Instagram, same thing, at rwcjesse.
And I'm robotswithcoffee, the full name. And TFCon's coming up. Hopefully, you know, you hear this before then. We'll be at TFCon. We'll have a table. I'll have the coloring book, Princess Robo, number one, a bunch of drawings, a bunch of parody prints, and hopefully I'll have the new book, You Can Do Stupid Things. And we need to talk to you about when we're off about printing out some of your photos.
Yeah. To bring. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I'll talk to you about that.
We'll talk about that. But that's something that we hope to do in the future if we don't do it. And of course, Grim Lockhamus will be there. So say hi, buy some stuff from him, buy some stuff from us. Thanks for all the retweets. Thanks for all the writing to us. Thanks for sharing your pictures. And keep sharing your pictures of toys and coffee. We really appreciate it. We really love it when you jump in on that and drop us a line. And you can drop us an email to robotswithcoffee@gmail.com, and I'll share it with Jesse when you do. Anything else?
I think that's it.
We really appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in, guys and girls, and we'll talk to you later.